Welcome back to the AEC Disruptors Podcast, your platform to help push the AEC industry forward. I'm your host, Christopher Riddell, and joining me today for this special episode is my co-host, Jackson Sinsett. What's going on, Jackson?
Christopher, it has been way too long. In the time that has passed since we last recorded, I have some news in my life. I got married.
That's a big deal. So how was that? Life different or the same?
It's the same. It's the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, not too much has changed, luckily.
Well, I see you still have that Sinsett on your wall back there, so at least you haven't had to reorganize your office or give it up yet, so that's good.
Yeah, since my office is an add-on, my wife doesn't even want to do any of her studying in here. It's too much like a tomb. The window that I have to look out here is just the other person's house. So.
Oh, yeah, we had like a whole discussion. Isn't it like a garage? Or built on a garage.
As you can see behind me, and apologies for those who are audio only, but as you can see behind me, the wall is blue. But if you look up towards the top, it turns into like a brown color. That's because whenever I did my Autodesk University class, shameless plug, I went ahead and painted it blue to make it look nice. But the wall right in front of me is actually, it's that ugly brown color. So...
You painted for a pot for your presentation?
Yeah, and then I ended up not even turning my webcam on. So, and it turns out, you know, we don't even like this color anyway. So,
so we just got done hosting a new conference for Applied Software, the Digital Agility Summit. And there was a lot of talk throughout about future of technology in the AEC. There were some sessions on machine learning. What are your thoughts on kind of how the conference was going to go and just some of the topics they talked on?
You know, what, one of the things that, you know, whenever I was inviting customers to this conference, I wanted to try to make sure that, you know, they knew it's not just all about Panzera. Like Panzera is the main focus of the conference, as it should be. And shout out to Dan Waldschmidt for an amazing keynote speech. That guy, you know, he really brings the energy every time he speaks. So,
yep, quite the motivational speaker.
Mm-hmm, yeah, which is the mark of a, you know, a true leader. But what I was really impressed by was, you know, the focus on classes that had to deal with remote work. And how the business of AEC is transforming through the use of the cloud. Because, you know, architects and engineers, if they weren't already using the cloud before to collaborate, you know, the COVID-19 disruption is definitely what, you know, led them down that path and kind of mm-hmm. accelerated it. And I think the fact that, you know, Applied Software and Panzera got together to host this conference during a time like this, it was really necessary because, you know, a lot of companies are still trying to get their footing in the cloud because for some of them, they were thinking about doing it, but now they were forced to do it and forced to do it quickly. And, you know, Chris, we've heard this before, especially in the software side, the saying, you know, learning to fly the plane while you're building it and in the air.
Yep.
Well, that's what a lot of these companies are doing. And I think that this conference that we just had, you know, is going to help a lot of companies along the way.
The, you know, I think that we've touched on other talks. I think this year was a great way to really force our hand in terms of the remote aspect. And really, it kind of reminds me of a book I had to read back in the day called, it was about The World is Flat. And it talks about different versions of globalization throughout our history. And sort of the final one, the one that we were approaching and we've really vastly adopted is the globalization utilizing things like the internet that really flattens the playing field. So now I can work with people in India. I can work with people across the United States. We can collaborate in real time, no matter where we are. These were things we'd already been doing for quite a while, but now what we found is we found through this sort of urgency during this year that we can do it in construction and we can do it in architecture and still have great designs and impactful designs. And it really is starting to open up our opportunities for talent. You know, it's starting to open up our way of thinking about how we work in a remote setting, how we lease office space. So I did appreciate kind of talking to that because it again, it's something we're used to doing. We've been doing it for quite a while, but now we've kind of gotten thrust into, you know, we don't, most people aren't going to want to go back to the way it was in terms of having to fly back and forth to different offices and have to be able to work really from anywhere.
Exactly. And another thing that I really liked about this conference was the fact that we had, you know, the breakouts. And, you know, I learn the most whenever I talk to other people who are also in the industry, who are doing things day in and day out. And, you know, everybody has their own way of doing things. And I think, you know, tips and tricks in the industry, like were shared, you know, it really brings value, you know, to all of the attendees. So I'm glad that was another thing we did, because, you know, contractors from all across the country, designers from all across the country were able to get together. I mean, look at us, you know, recording this podcast. It's still crazy to me that we can do this while I'm in San Antonio and you're in Atlanta.
Yep. Yeah, we've recorded almost two seasons and I've met you like twice in person.
Yeah, I've only seen you in person two times. So
no, this has been great. It was a great conference. So, you know, the episode really kind of recap. It was, you know, at the end of the conference, we were able to sort of do a dive into how it went, and we hope you enjoy it. And so check back for more. We'll be up for a season 3 of AEC Disruptors coming out soon. So be on the lookout for that, and then be on the lookout for other conferences from Applied Software. Anything else before we go?
That's it for me, Christopher. Thanks for having me on again.
Absolutely. All right, everyone. Hope you enjoy it and check back for more.
You guys push me along the way you want it to go. I'll take your lead.
I'm just going to let you talk.
You know I can talk. So. I know. I feel bad about
we're
that.
We're
going to
say this is our first crossover podcast, and Jason, you do all the talking.
It's like, hey, look at this mashup. Now Jason's going to talk for 45 right. minutes.
You're making me feel bad, guys. Come on. I'm trying not to all the time.
All right, well, let's do this thing. So we just read our intro. Christopher, exciting that it's our first crossover pod. This feels like a big moment.
Absolutely. I mean, I've had you on mine. I've been on yours. And then I think you tried to steal the show from mine. So I've been on yours twice.
This was our way to conference. I could still have control of the mic and still talk to you. So it's great.
Yeah, we both have our own mic. I mean, you're the host of the meeting. So I guess technically you're the supreme ruler, but
can mute them all. One ring, rule them all.
No, I'm excited about a mashup, but no, this has been great. I'm excited to see we can talk about this event.
Yeah, absolutely. So bringing in Jason, one of the big masterminds behind Digital Agility Summit. Welcome to the show, Jason. You've been on Disruptors, but welcome to Bridging the Gap.
Good morning. Good to be here. How y'all doing this morning?
Doing good. We're I'm excited about how Digital Agility went yesterday. So we're recording this. It was yesterday when we released it. It's not going to be yesterday. So spoiler behind the scenes.
It can always be yesterday. Just go watch it on demand.
That's right. That's true. Couple fun facts before we really dive into everything about the conference. So Digital Agility Summit was yesterday. It was our first virtual conference that we had in this area focused all on digital transformation in AEC. We had over close to 200 executives that registered for the event coming from 26 states around the country. And we were in 9 countries total. So we are a global conference on the first time out the gate, which is super exciting there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's impressive.
Jason, to kind of get everything going, so Digital Agility is the name of the conference. Mm-hmm. How do you define that? What does that really look like to you?
You know, we get asked that a lot, and it means so many different things to different organizations. But I think the key is taking whatever technology, you know, it can be technology, it could be processes, and making your organization better, you know, making it more productive, automating things, moving things to be more resilient, you know, agile. Making it so that you're able to make moves and you know, get to a point where, you know, things don't disrupt as much as maybe historically they have. So looking at those different technologies that can enable that throughout your organization. And, you know, for the Digital Agility Summit, we really focused on the infrastructure part of it. Data storage, virtualization of your, you know, remote workers, things that you can do to increase their productivity, things that you can do to enable your organization when something like COVID happens, you know, from, you know, that's been the big thing, you know, the past year, of course. So it was a, you know, great event. You know, we had a lot of help behind the scenes from everybody, and you know, the digital transformation team, you know, Doug and Seth, we kind of came up with this idea, and Doug really pushed a lot of different ideas, and we were able to pull all that together, you know, to do this. You know, it was a short event. It was hard to get all of the sessions, you know, but the ability to go back and look at them, that's going to be, you know, really great. But, you know, we were able to put together a really strong mix of presenters, and I think it turned out great. I mean, it was really good to see.
And it was kicked off by a great keynote.
Yes.
Like, you didn't have to know anything about technology and you still should have listened to that keynote.
Yeah. Dan Waldschmidt. I was very much inspired by what he presented. He's always high octane. It's always good. I love hearing him talk and some of his ideas and stuff. So
I couldn't take enough notes, and I was taking snapshots of all his slides. I'm like, oh, that's a good one. And then yeah. I would be almost done with that, and I'd be like, oh, I need to write that one down, and I'm going to pin that up to my wall. And I mean, it was a really good, he had some good lessons that he was trying to push there.
I was really hoping that he was going to scream, "This is Sparta." Just like kick over the computer for those who don't know what we're talking about.
Well, first go listen on demand. Right.
Yeah, listen. He talks about the Sparta story of, you know, this huge armies descending on Sparta, and they send the letter saying, "You can either surrender or you face our million person army." And Sparta just sends back a note with the one word, "If."
If. Yeah.
I love that. There's such a power word for only being two letters. That packs a lot of power. Well, it packs a big punch.
And it makes you think. I mean,
yeah.
In that regard, you know, if, you know, it's like, it kind of makes you think, you know, okay, what am I getting myself into?
Yeah, it had to be like an intimidation factor back to
yeah,
the million person army. Like, oh, these people are crazy.
Yeah, but no, he did. He had a lot of good points. I really picked up on, you know, a couple of things I picked up on was his, because it's been for me, you know, it kind of hit home, his idea of this focused intensity. And if you're going to work, you're going to work. And there's things you have to give up. And, you know, and he talked about all of that. And, you know, if you're passionate about your work, you know, some people think, in especially today, you know, that, you know, overworking's bad, and, you know, we don't balance enough, but those are things you have to be yourself come to terms with. And if you want to succeed, you have to work hard. I mean, and I was taught that my whole life. And so that resonated with me, but that, and I love his idea of being weird. Those were the two main, I mean, there was tons of stuff in there, but those were the two main things that I really picked up on.
For the simple question, is it awesome? just any decision you need to make. Is it awesome? You know, is it worth pursuing? And it kind of touched on, you know, he had those 6 points and one was just you being awesome is the only rule and just go from there.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure. When you bring up the intensity of work, Jason, how do you think that that's really been, or how has that changed or maybe not changed over the last year with everybody really working from home?
Well, I think, you know, and, you know, he made a point of this, that it's what are you being, you know, what is the intensity focused on? Are you actually being productive at the work you're doing? And that's, I think, the key. You know, we all can work a lot. We can all put in, you know, 12 hours a day, but are you being productive? And, you know, over the last year, you know, I talk with a lot of different clients and, you know, the big concern is we're not working 8 to 5 anymore. We're not, you know, in an office. We're not having specific times. We're spread out all over the place now. And, you know, a lot of the organizations in our industry, you know, because you have the kids at home, because you have both parents at home, you know, there's things that are going on. So people aren't working, you know, I know guys that are working noon to midnight, you know, or they're working, you know, they're getting all their work done from 4 o'clock in the afternoon to midnight, or, you know, some of them are working early in the morning because that's the way they work. And, you know, they're working 5 a.m. to noon, and it's all over the board now. And I think one of the big things that just about everybody, I think would agree on would be that, you know, some of the old historical thinking that has been prevalent in our industry, the whole idea of, you know, we can't work away from the office. You've got to have people sitting in those seats. We've destroyed that we know that's not true. And so the idea that as long as people are getting their work done, as long as they're meeting their deadlines, as long as they're, you know, meeting the goals of the client, let them work. Let the people work. You know, let them work the way they can. They need to. So,
you know, that kind of came up in the round table. There was that round table, I think it was just talking about future trends in the AEC. And one of the ones they talked about was, you know, I think the question was, what was something good that came out of this year versus something bad? And they talked about flexibility in the workplace. And, you know, I kind of chimed in a little bit. And I think it goes to your point about when we move to the new, you know, there won't be a new normal. We'll get back to where we were at some point. But now it's an expectation that I can work where I want to work. There's an expectation of flexibility, not just in terms of time, but also, you know, a lot of people have the issue with the open office, whether it was for transmission of disease or just, you know, I can't get my work done. But I think flexibility is going to be key. And really, if we start to move away from like a time and seat mentality more to just a task-based mentality, a goal-based, where it's like, hey, I just need you to get this done. I need you to get it done by this time and go complete it. But I will tell you one of the things, and I'm a big believer in that. I'm not a believer. I don't personally have to come to an office. But one thing they brought up, and I think it's interesting, and I like to get y'all's input, was they think this what we're going to sacrifice and what the most concern is on culture. Because there's a lot that gets missed by not being near each other, by overhearing somebody's issue or by overhearing a problem. So I'd love to get y'all's thoughts on, you know, we've learned how to work remote and we've learned how to be flexible, but is it going to come at a sacrifice of something like culture?
The AEC Disruptors podcast is brought to you by Applied Software. With solutions for the modern project, Applied Software is on a mission to transform industries by empowering clients and champion innovation with real-world expert consultants. Their comprehensive array of solutions for the AEC, MEP, and manufacturing has a singular focus, helping you achieve higher performance. With software, training, support, consulting, and custom development, Applied Software has you covered. visit ASTI.com and let them know we sent you.
I'll jump right in because, yes, it is. I've always been a believer in mentoring, training. We bring in new staff and you know, at organizations I've been at in the past, and it was always a big point to mentor those people, teach them the way we do the work. And part of that is, you know, well, and the other side of it too is always learning. You know, you always need to be learning. I'm a big believer in that also. And one of the ways, you know, that both of those things happen is the walk around the office, you know, and I can't tell you the number of times where I would walk past someone and be like, you know, just kind of looking over their shoulder, hey, how you doing? And watch them and go, hey, what did you just do? How did you do that? I've never seen, show me that. And learn something like that. And that's just in those moments. We don't have that now. We're not seeing what that person's doing. I can't just walk up to him and be like, hey man, what's going on? And you know,
mm-hmm. We have to be more intentional.
I'm going to disagree with you some, Jason, on that. I think that you definitely sacrifice some of it. I mean, that's a given. Yeah. But I don't think it has to be a big sacrifice in it. And I think you can get around and still have a really robust, healthy culture where you still are getting that mentorship, you're still getting those touch points. But Christopher, you said the word intentionality, and that's the name of the game there. You have to be super hyper focused on that. And it's incumbent then on the mentor or the manager or whoever is taking on that responsibility to proactively go out and seek those conversations and have those touch points. Like personally, this last year, I don't think I've really have seen my team less, even though I haven't really seen anybody in person in the last year, because we are always on video. We're chatting the entire day. I think we probably even talk more over the last year than what we did when we were sitting 3 feet away from each other. Mm-hmm.
There's some of that organic learning that I think we will miss out on. You know, you kind of learn by osmosis, because there'd be times like in my past life when I'd be doing something on Revit and there'd be somebody behind me that was asking about a detail for a completely different project type that I probably never would work on. And I'd pull my headphones out and I'd start listening, and then I'd walk over and I'd be like, oh, that's kind of cool. And I'd learn something. And so, you know, there is that sort of organic learning by osmosis that we are going to lose. But, you know, to your point about the intentionality, it's something we're also going to have to start to instill and teach, because a lot of mentors and mentorees and all of this, we're not used to having to do that. We're able to like manage by driving by. And now we have to refocus and rethink about, I have to come to you now, and I need to think about coming to you on a more regular cadence.
But even in your example just there, Christopher, of being in person, you were proactive in taking out your earbuds and going.
Oh, yeah.
So it's still the same principle. It's just in practice, it looks different. Because even in the office, I know it was super easy. I always had my headphones in because I get distracted by the shiny object that's around me. So
sometimes I would be disconnected. I just want it to look like I have headphones in.
No, I had to have the music blaring so I couldn't hear anybody else, or else I would be like, hey, what are you doing?
Creative brain.
That's right.
I think that organic part though, you know, it's in the office, it's easy to roll up to someone and not be creepy. You know, hey, can I get in on your, can I remote into your computer with you and watch what you're doing? I mean, I
won't talk.
I'll just lurk in the background. I think that's the part that I think if you go about it in a, you know, learning a new way to go about it, I think it's doable. It's just that part of being able to, you know, like an architect. And people have heard me, you know, like an architect, you know, you'll get groups of architects sit down and they pull out the onion skin and they start scribbling. That's not, it's just not the same in this, you know, in this Zoom world. And so I think some of that, we're going to have to find other ways, you know, and so some of that won't be lost because we will go back to the office. You know, we'll have, you know, to Christopher's point about, you know, specific tasks and thing, you know, maybe you go to the office 2 days a week and the rest of the time you're working from wherever. Or, you know, one of the big things I think about the whole thing is where we work, how we work is definitely going to be different. We've proven that, you know, we can utilize resources from anywhere. And so getting the correct talent, getting the right resources and putting them to work is going to be a lot. That's going to be like paramount on a lot of these organizations where, you know, as before it was, well, who can we find within a certain radius of an office, you know? And, mm-hmm. you know, so, but I do like your point of being intentional and task-based work. And, you know, I heard all kinds of things proposed from different people about, you know, what that office is going to look like. I think that's, you know, and there's some good ideas out there, you know?
Yeah, there was a good breakout session, the Leveraging Disruption. It was from Stan Van Ness, and they talked about legacy thinking.
Yep.
Instead mm-hmm. of the, you know, I think of the way we've always done things, kind of comment that drives me nuts.
I hate. Why do you do it that way? Well, that's how it's always been done.
Yeah, does that mean it's good? Like,
there's this great story, and I mean, I won't go into full detail. It's like a almost like a fable, and it goes to that point, and it's like there's a young mom and she's making a pot roast and she cuts it in half and she moves the other half off to the side and then she cooks half of it. And then her daughter, who's probably 8, says, "Mom, why do you do that?" And she's like, "I don't know. That's how grandma does it." So they ask grandma, "Why do you do it that way?" "I don't know. That's how my mom did it." They asked that great grandma, "Why do you cut the pot roast in half?" She's like, "I don't know why you guys do it, but my pot wasn't big enough." And it really goes to this idea of this like legacy thinking. If you don't question like, why are we doing it this way? You're just going to continue on. And it may just be because, you know, several generations before didn't have a pot big enough for their pot roast.
Yeah.
And so I get so frustrated when I hear, "Oh, that's just how we've done it." I'm like, nah, got to do it better.
Well, an unpopular opinion is, and there's a lot of organizations in our industry that are stuck in that. That's the way we've always done it. That's how we're going to continue to do it. And that's going to be detrimental for those organizations. You know, they're mm-hmm. not getting on board with new technology, with training on whether it be applications, whatever, you know, new workflows, new processes. They're still stuck in that old way of doing things. And, you know, unfortunately, they're not going to be around a lot longer, in my opinion.
And change is hard and scary. In that breakout session, there was a great line that they said, of you have to have people in your organization that are comfortable in the chaos.
In the chaos, yes.
And I love that. It also made me kind of think of Batman, that some men just want to watch the world burn. But besides that, maybe don't have the Joker dark. In your organization. but I just loved it because chaos and disruption seem scary, but in my mind, in times of disruption, that is the moment that you need to transform. And there's the greatest potential for opportunity when things are being disrupted, because mm-hmm. why not change the deck? Everything is being changed on you regardless. Christopher, you had I'm going to ruin the line now, but disrupt yourself before somebody else disrupt you on yep. one of your episodes.
Absolutely.
That has stuck with me since. It's a great line.
Well, you know, something else that came out of that that's very similar is like, you know, never let a good crisis go to waste. And I mean, in a way, what they're really getting at was there was a lot of people that were thrust into, I mean, there were a lot of people that thought, "I could never work remote. My firm can't do it." And they have since learned, because they had to, "Oh, wait, actually I can." And so, you know, they are making the best of what was a bad situation. But yeah, I mean, the idea, you know, for us to be sustainable as an organization, as an industry, you have to be able to consistently disrupt yourself, because the moment you become stagnant, that's when there's outside forces that are looking at you. You know, the architecture industry, specifically AEC, I guess, in totality, is prime for disruption. We have these startups that are trying to make their way in and trying to automate our work. So we need to be thinking of those things before, you know, someone does it for us.
Exactly. And the idea that with a lot of these new technologies and the automation of a lot of these processes and things, you can't continue doing it the way you did it. You have to jump on board. You've got to learn those new workflows. And what a lot of organizations find is it helps them be more productive. They actually, you know, and that's the whole idea about all of this stuff is productivity. You know, why, if you can take away a process that a manual process, or you can reduce the number of steps that it takes, those are things that make your workers productive. They can focus on the real work. Back to that hole at the beginning, focused intensity. Focus on the things that matter. Take away the stuff that, you know, doesn't matter. The session on that I was part of, the enterprise file sync and share, you know, that idea of being able to be in the field and, you know, with a mobile device, whether it, you know, whatever kind of mobile device it is, and be able to snap pictures and instantly, well, not instantly, but, you know, within seconds, have them uploading back and be available to people in the office, or be able to directly share them with external people in the, you know, that you're working with, and then get on your phone while they're looking at the picture while you're still standing there and go, hey, what is wrong with this? What do we need to do to fix this? Well, that's taking, think about how that used to happen. You know, an inspector would go to a job site, take pictures, have to go back to the office, download those pictures, write up his reports. Oh, hey, look, here's a problem. Oh, I only got a picture of one side. I didn't get
picture I missed of both that corner.
I missed that corner, you know, and then have to send it to someone. He's got to go back to out to the field. Think about all that time. Now you can do that instantly from and still be there. And if they need something, you're still there. It could be pictures, it could be video, you know, being able to draw something, sketch something, and redline it while you're standing there looking at it, and have people in the office have access to that immediately. I mean, that's powerful. And those are the kinds of things, you know, that to me is a perfect example of this transformation we keep talking about, because you've taken all this time, you've compressed it into a little amount, and now you're moving on to something else. This is taken care of, you know, not to mention all the, you know, not having to upload it back to the, you know, figure out. I love it when people, how do I get these pictures off my phone onto the server? You know, it's like, I mean, it's a valid
go find an old USB. Hope it's the right size.
But so again, that idea of transforming and that idea of taking on some of these new things, I that's what this is all about.
The AEC Disruptors podcast is brought to you by Evolve MEP, MEP construction software for Revit. Evolve's MEP software for Revit makes project collaboration fast, simple, and more productive, which in turn significantly reduces project risk and costs. Born from the reality of a lack of available skilled labor in the industry, Evolve MEP has transformed the MEP detailer workflow. It's time for MEP to harness the Revit platform to offer seamless collaboration like no other software before it. Visit evolvemep.com and let them know that we sent you.
You know, I'm curious for both of you, do you consider transformation as a destination, or is it a journey that you're continuously on?
I think it's both. I think you have to have a vision in mind of where you're going to go, because just transforming for the sake of transforming, well, what does that mean? That's quite stupid, frankly. You have to have a vision. Of a destination, even if it changes, you have to
have a plan.
Yeah, you have to know where you're going, or else you're just going to be wandering around.
Yeah, you have to have a plan, and you have to have a start point of what you want to get, and it has to make a difference. Just to do something, you know, we're going to, you know, whatever it may be, we're going to do A, you know, item A. well, why are you doing it? Is there a business case for it? Is it going to make a difference? You know, if that, that I think is the big part. But once you start down that road and you start seeing the benefits, I think it becomes, I don't think there's an end. I think you start to make steps and you begin to get better and you begin to see productivity, but then it's always going to be changing because there's always going to be something better. There's always going to be a way to do it differently. And you have to see if that works within your process and if it works within your organization. And so I think the opportunity is that it becomes a continuous improvement, sure. You know, that you're always looking at, okay, we're improving again. All right. We're improving again.
Yeah. You're running sprints.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so I think it's a lack of will of trying to get on that journey, or is it a lack of vision of having that clear roadmap?
Or maybe it's just overwhelming.
Yeah.
If I had to, like, my opinion, you know, when I look at some of these, some different organizations and talk with people I know, you know, good friends that I have, some of them don't always understand, you know, a lot of leadership is focused on, you know, billable hours. Are we billing the client? Are we getting projects done? Well, that's important. You have to, but you have to look at the, how do we, you know, what can we do to be more productive, you know, and it's not always about hiring more people. It's not always about adding a piece of technology. Sometimes it's about training. Sometimes it's about changing the way you're doing that. Again, what are we doing to, you know, increase productivity? And, you know, a lot of, you know, historically IT was not IT technology groups, whatever you want to, you know, however you want to refer to them. They weren't specifically part of the business. They weren't involved in the planning. They weren't involved in the, you know, it was like, well, we want to do this. How can we do it? And, you know, it was kind of a side thought. That's changed. You know, I mean, a lot of the leadership is coming to these technology leaders and, you know, well, we need to be able to do this. How can we do it? Can you help us? And so, you know, they're being brought in sooner and they're really looking at things more. And I think leaders, you know, business leaders, being able to bring the technology leaders to the table, I think that's going to help establish that. What does that vision need to be? Well, everyone knows what that vision needs to be if everybody's together and on the same page. You know, historically, I don't think there were. IT wanted to do this, technology wanted to do this, or you had silos, little groups of that were doing certain things very well, but not everybody knew. And now we're starting to see all that come together, and the leaders are trying to be on the same page and push things.
And break it into small pieces, because, I mean, I think for some, it's like, I don't even know where to start. And there was a really great webinar on innovation where it talked about marginal gains and just increasing little bits at a time, even things 1% or 2%. And their example was a Kenyan runner who was trying to break the marathon under 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And they said they just broke down everything that person needed to do, from his shoes to what he wore to the weather to everything, and make small incremental change. And you get those small marginal gains, and over time you will find yourself making huge improvements. And I think it applies to digital transformation, small little bits, breaking down, you know, what is it that we do? Where do we want to improve our organization? And a 5% shift in any one area makes a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Dan brought that up in his keynote when he was talking about his ultra marathons, that when he's looking at a 100-mile race, which is crazy.
Crazy.
I didn't think about that. But he breaks it down in 5K increments. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't think he runs 100 miles. He thinks he runs a bunch of little 5Ks. Of 5K.
I mean, I can barely run one 5K. So it's still 100 miles. I don't care how you break it down.
Just the thought.
I would just get to the end of the one 5K and start crying that I had to run another 5K. But.
Yeah, because he says, like, and that was actually a line I wrote down. It's like, The moment you think something's too hard, it automatically is too hard. Yeah. And it's just a mindset, you know. Yeah. I think it goes to the point of like, if you think you can or if you think you can't, you're right. It's all just mindset for how you want to change.
Yeah, that's huge. Still don't get it, but that's huge. But the whole 100-mile run.
Oh yeah. It was good. So what were your thoughts, or what was your favorite session? Either one of you that you attended.
That's a good question. So outside of the keynote, which would be my favorite part, if I'm going in a breakout session, I really resonated with that leveraging disruption that I brought up earlier, the Stand by Ness one. I thought there was just really good takeaways. So they had the difference between a hard trend of something that isn't subject to change, like technology is going to be a factor regardless of what you do. You can bury your head in the sand, but new technology is coming. So you're just hurting yourself if you bury your head. And then there's the soft trends that you think are the dominating thing. Like their example was Facebook being the dominant social media site. Well, it has been for the last decade, but will it be a decade in the future? Maybe, maybe not.
TikTok. TikTok version 2.
There was good stuff in quite a few. I'm excited about the WVD, the Windows Virtual Desktops. There was the session on that. That was really good. Showing all the benefits, and the ability to do, for pooled resources and just how easy it is now with some new management tools. Whereas before, historically it was a little difficult to get those things up and running. But I also really liked the, what was it called? I apologize.
Put you on the spot.
I know. And I wasn't ready. The Microsoft presentation about practical applications of machine learning and augmented reality. Mm-hmm. He had some awesome examples of, today, things we're doing today, where being able to optimize manufacturing processes with the use of video and pictures, millions and millions of pictures instantly being taken on these lines. And you have models that are, built, and the utilization of the AI to look at those pictures and machine learning to find flaws that even humans couldn't find. And so being able to increase, productivity.
That's a cool technology. Image recognition.
It's crazy. And they've taken it to even more where now you can point a camera at anything and have, using machine learning, have it, know that somebody's on a phone and they shouldn't be in a warehouse, or
construction safety.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so many uses, and he did an awesome job breaking all that down and giving specific examples and what they're doing, and, not the technical how they're doing it, but that high level of what's going on to be able to produce that. And I thought that was really good. And then he shared some really cool things on remote help. So, being able to assist where maybe there's not a lot of technology in some of these, industrial places, things that are happening where people can use AR. And, he made the comment that they're able to do this over low bandwidth, which I thought was remarkable. And, literally be able to hear a technician who's across the country or across the world and see him and him showing you what to do and what to take apart and what to fix. I mean, that's game changing. Mm-hmm. Being able to do that, on the fly with an expert over your shoulder, basically, so I really enjoyed that one. I think that's when everyone should go check out. And because it has practical application in, you know, a lot of our fab stuff and in different areas like that, QA, you know, I think there's a lot of practical application there.
It was interesting you mentioned like the over the low bandwidth, because that actually came up in the roundtable where they talked about one of the biggest issues that we face and things that actually sort of reared its ugly head in 2020 was how there is a severe lack or disparity in access to the internet.
Yep.
And, you know, in these more rural areas, you know, these schools are suffering, these, you know, these folks who are working from home just don't have reliable internet. And we never thought about it until now when everyone was on the internet and, you know, things that we take for granted. You know, I take my internet for granted, just like I take probably my water, my clean water for granted. And it's something that we're going to have to continue to push forward to be able to get this infrastructure out so that we all kind of level the playing field a little bit.
Yep. 100% agree. There was a article I read just a few weeks back. I'm probably going to get this wrong. I believe it was rural firefighters in Washington State, and they're making use of Starlink. They were given Starlink, and they said it was a game changer. They can communicate. They can get people where they need to. So I think we're going to see things. I mean, I think that's huge.
Actually, they mentioned that in the roundtable. Like, we need to all give money to Elon so we can get free internet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know he's given it out to a few and it's not free, but it's there and it's cost effective when you're out in those areas. You know, the cost for satellite is super expensive, and he's bringing it into, you know, making it, you know, there is a cost associated, but it's a lot. I think it's a lot better cost than historically what we've seen, and it's faster. I mean, some of the articles I've read about it are just amazing. You know, the bandwidth they're getting. So,
Jason, I'm curious, what tech makes you geek out the most recently? You can let your weirdo flag fly here.
Be weird.
So, truthfully for me, because of my background, it's enabling, I mean, for me, it's the virtualization aspect. You know, there's things that we can do now, and I don't need a $5,000 computer sitting on my desktop next to me. There's things that I can do now, and the way that you can tie all that together, I mean, that's really what, you know, there's, you know, Google's got stuff coming. There's new stuff from Azure coming. There's, you know, new stuff from Amazon coming. And I mean, there's things that we're not going to see this. You know, historically we've been with all of this virtualization and cloud use, we've focused on, well, I'm going to go to Amazon, or I'm going to go to Azure, or I'm going to go to Google. And I mean, there's pieces coming that are going to tie it all together. You know, there's new platforms that Google has today that you can utilize across Amazon and Azure. You know, there's things that are going to be available, you know, on the Azure side that are going to enable you to tie things together. And to me, that's just, I mean, that's where I'm spending all my time right now. You know, there's some new cool stuff on the app side, the application side, but that's for another, you know, that's for another discussion. But I think
that's the future, is like platform technology, because there's all these like point solutions that work really well, and being able to tie it all together, to your point, you know, I don't mind having 1,000 tools that do 1,000 things if I have one place to go to see them all. And so, yeah, I do see more of that is starting to, you know, percolate up.
Well, that kind of goes back to the full circle where we started with having flexibility and being able to do what you want when you want it and have the tools right there at the ready.
Well, and that's the key. that right there, I mean, you put it in better words than me. It's, you know, we used to have to plan, buy hardware, do all this, you know, literally physical implementation of something. Then you had to, you know, get it working and you had to tweak it. And now it's like, I mean, I can implement something new in minutes, test it, tweak it in a few more minutes and deploy it, you know, and have it running and working. That's like unheard of. I mean, that to me is huge. You know, I don't have to wait to get users' computers, you know. Oh, you need a computer? Okay, what kind of computer do you want? You know, how much power do you need? What are you doing? Okay, yeah. Click, click, boom, here you go. You know, oh, you don't like that? Okay, well, let's try something else. Click, click, boom, you know. That is so powerful. And yeah, there's a cost, you know. There's always a cost. But that ability to free yourself from, you know, and take away steps, take away time, you know, to focus on what you really need to. That's huge.
Yeah. Well, it's because we as a society don't have any patience. That's
oh, we don't. We don't. I started in this industry long, long ago. Long ago. When I started, we were hand drafting still. And fax machine wasn't new, but it was becoming very popular.
What's a fax machine?
Yeah, exactly. What's a fax
machine? Honestly, a fax machine of all the technology is a pretty impressive piece of technology. When you actually think about, like, I almost think sending an email is easier than let me send this thing over a telephone and you're going to get a hard copy on your side.
On the other end, yeah. But I mean, you know, when
still get annoying when people say something about, oh, fax it to me. Like, what?
Fax it to me. What?
Yeah, do people
still use a fax machine?
It seems to be prevalent still in real estate and financial. That's when you always, can you fax that over? Insurance, yes, that too. But no, when I started, you know, clients would, you know, you'd send something to the client via fax and they could immediately do something, fax it back to you, like, when can you have that? And it's like, well, whoa, I still have to go, you know, make these changes, draw the changes, you know. Well, now we've taken all of that. Look where we are today. I mean, I can be in the middle of working on something, send it to someone, and, you know, they immediately want, everybody wants everything now, to your point, you know, Todd. Yeah. It's we've become, you know, with these and with the Zoom and all of this stuff, you know, everything instant gratification, you know, and
it's an expectation.
Yeah, it's an expectation. So,
you know, I'll be curious if even like the makeup of our workstation changes. I mean, it's already started to change, but it's like, are we going to get to a point, because this kind of came up in one of the roundtables about desktops, are we going to get to a point where all we have is like a little device that allows me to connect to a virtual workstation?
100%.
That's all we have, and we don't need anything else.
100%. We're going
Andy
to
brought
be
that up in the roundtable that he doesn't even buy any new computers at all.
Yeah. Andy Knopf. Yeah. He brought up that, you know, he hasn't brought hardware. I don't remember how long he said, but you know, he's like, it's not fun anymore, 'cause I don't get to buy hardware. You know, we don't get to buy that cool new hardware, you know, but no, that's 100%. At some point, what you're going to see is, monitors, you're going to see stations, you know, benching stations, places to go where you just set something down and, you know, pull in and go and you're good to go. And, you know, you can access these, you know, even today, all you need is a browser or a client, or, you know, and that's iOS, Android, you know, a Chromebook.
Yeah. And just give me a monitor with a small operating system built into it and I can just
exactly
connect anything.
Yeah. A tablet. I mean, that's going to be, you know, that's where we're headed. You know, I mean, we're there today in some regard. You know, you can access workstations while on an airplane over airplane Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. You can access a Windows 10 workstation and do your 3D modeling, you know. Well, that was unheard of, you know, a few years back. People would be like, what? No, you know. Well, yeah, we're doing that now. So
When are we going to do that here? Because I have some programs I need over.
I'll make a phone call.
I need a virtual station tomorrow.
Well, I mean, I've even, you know, on our personal side, you know, not just work. I think it's going to be relevant, become relevant on our, you know, in our personal lives. You know, uh-huh. I have a college son who needs a hefty laptop to run engineering applications. I'm not going to buy him a workstation. He's going to use his, you know, whatever 5-6 year old MacBook, and I'll prop up a virtual workstation for him, and he'll log into it and do what he needs to do. You know, it's like, why spend the money on, you know, again, I don't need.
Geez, Dad, can't I get a new one?
Can I get one with super cool neon colors?
I'll give you a website to log into.
It's just as cool.
Exactly.
Well, landing the plane here. Any other takeaways from the conference?
When are we going to have a second one?
Yes. When are we going to have a second one?
In a year. Give me time to recover. Yeah, we got MVP force. It's gearing up.
I don't know. I just, you know, I think it was great. I really appreciate everybody's part. I think the team did great. Kudos, Todd, to you and your team for, you know, pulling it all together. I really, you know, appreciate all the presenters that were there. You know, Panzura, Stan Bonness, the Microsoft people. It was great. You know, our internal people, and then all of the guests we had. You know, just a lot of good information. I think we've already started thinking about, you know, for next year.
Part two.
Not gonna lie, part two. Maybe it can be bigger and better, you know. Well, but I to circle back on some of it, for, you know, there's some exciting things going on in the Panzura realm. You know, we've got some things to look forward to there. Is going to continue to grow and be, you know, really relevant to the AEC industry, in my opinion. I mean, so yeah, I'm looking forward to the next one.
This was a great Bridging the Disruptors episode.
I like
Bridging
it.
All the disruptors.
But yeah, we got to do another crossover pod.
Oh yeah. No, we should just from now on just do two. We'll just have a crossover. It's a permanent mashup.
There you go. So my final question I always ask everybody, and we're going to do it here, even though it's a crossover. What does innovation mean to you?
I knew you were going to ask.
Go first.
It's finding, for me, it's finding something that helps you be more productive. And that can be technology. That could be a change in a workflow or a change in a process. I mean, that really is always, you know, looking for something to improve on your productivity. That's for me, that's for me is what it is. Nice. And I know there's a lot more to that, but simplifying it, that's for me what it is.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a good answer. Our director of innovation should have a pretty mind-blowing
have
answer.
A better one. I want a dissertation now, come on.
That's right. All right,
how much time do we have?
Lay it on us, Christopher.
Let's start in the beginning of innovation starts with the letter I. No, you know, I honestly, I look at it as pretty simple. I think it's the discovery, development, and transformation of new knowledge, no matter what it is. You know, we're consistently looking for new ideas, new thought, we're developing them, and then we're transforming, you know, whatever our application may be. And a new internal thing that I'm trying to push us towards is this idea of explore and exploit, being able to exploit the present and your current business models, and be able to explore the future so that you can sustain long-term growth and success. So discovery, what did I say? Discovery, development, and transformation of new knowledge.
There you go. Nice. I like it.
Awesome.
Well, thanks for taking part, recapping the event, and Christopher for doing a crossover pod, and Jason being a part of this historic event.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much for having me, guys.
Thanks for listening to the AEC Disruptors podcast. Enjoyed this episode? Leave us a rating or review while sharing with your friends and coworkers. I'd love to hear from you. Send me a LinkedIn request or follow our LinkedIn page and let me know if there's a topic you'd like to hear. You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks for listening. The AEC Disruptors is directed by Christopher Riddell, produced by Todd Wyant, edited by Eric Daniel, and co-hosted by Jackson Sensat.